Are our hearts clear this morning? Do you remember when you got your driver's license? When you started driving? I started driving in 1970, so you can kind of do the arithmetic here. What is that, 49 years, nearly 50 years I've been on the road. How about you? Do you remember what year you got your driver's license? Nobody's going to share that. 1946. All right. Actually, I drove a little bit before I had my license, so to be honest, I've been driving about 50 years. I had a wreck before I even had my license. That didn't put me in very good stead with my dad, let me tell you. Well, somebody else. 55. Okay, well, that goes back a few years. By the way, I'm available in my office too if you need to stop by on the way home this morning. How many of you then, you can even raise your hand, can identify with some of the experiences that I've had in these about 50 years that I've been driving? I have fishtailed on wet pavement, lost control of my car, and left the road. I actually went through a fence and hit a tree. Fortunately, nobody was injured. That 63 Rambler I talked about a while back, I ended up selling it for $10 after that wreck. How many of you have had the transmission go out? I've had that happen twice. I've had more flat tires than you could count. I've run out of gas, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, more times than I want to remember. I've had an engine that, because of a block in the fuel line, that surged and stalled. Anybody had that one? That's really annoying. I've been completely lost an embarrassing number of times. And most of these were before cell phones and GPS for me, too. I could get lost with GPS, by the way. I've driven in heavy fog, sleet, snow, and ice. I've had to postpone a number of trips because of heavy fog, snow, sleet, and ice. I've been too sleepy to keep driving, even to the point where I caught myself falling asleep behind the wheel. Just really fortunate. So, besides those, I'm sure we can all think of lots of times when the car either broke down or we came upon a closed road. That's a real common right now, isn't it? Having to take a detour. You can't get there from here. Lots of times where I didn't know how to get where I was headed. You probably recall now, this is part three of a four-part series that I'm trying to accomplish here. You might recall that I spoke that first morning that the car has become a universal dream symbol, according to psychologists. That is a widespread, commonly used symbol that we have in our dreams for the self. The car as a symbol for the self. And that fits so perfectly with what I'm trying to talk about here as we are on this spiritual trip, so to speak, and as we're journeying through our lives, all kinds of hazards, annoyances, challenges. Like I mentioned a moment ago, it doesn't take much imagination, really, to think of these as symbols of what we meet on this road trip with Jesus that we're making. And once again, let me remind you of that great one-sentence summary of the Christian spiritual life that I learned from Bob Mulholland probably 25, 30 years ago. Christian spiritual formation, that is this journey we're on, or this process we're all in, is the process, that is, it's a trip, it involves movement, of being conformed. We don't conform ourselves, we're being conformed by a power greater than our own, which we Christians call the Holy Spirit or the grace of God. We're in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. That is, it's headed somewhere. And of course, the last part, for the sake of others, I will focus on that next week. So this morning, I want to focus on the destination's completion, that is, the image of Christ. And I want to say two really simple things. Here's what I want you to take away from what we're thinking about this morning. Stay on the road and keep moving. As I said, the road in life that we take leads us finally to the person we have become. That's the end of the result of the journey, is who we are. It's a particular kind of character that we develop. And as followers of Jesus, we are headed toward completion of the journey toward being Christ-like. We're designed to follow a way that shapes us into a people who, hard to imagine as it can be sometimes, are beginning to look more and more like Jesus. And as we travel, we meet some real challenges. I'm convinced that these challenges actually come from or involve the parts of us that are not yet Christ-like. That's where we meet the challenge. Every challenge can be thought of as a part of us that has not yet come to the fullness of the image of God that we saw in Jesus. And so it is a challenge, it is a place where, so to speak, God is working on us. It's places where God is at work conforming us. How many of you have ever lived in the South? You can count Louisville, Karen. I mean, I am. I lived in Louisville for 5 years. And if you've lived there, you know it's a little different from here. I lived in Louisville for 5 years, and I lived in Winston-Salem for a couple. So I know what I'm speaking about. Have you ever been in the South in a snowstorm or an ice storm? They don't know what they're doing. People don't know how to drive, and it's not because they're less able or less intelligent or any of those things. It's because they don't have enough experience with it. It doesn't happen very often like it does here. And also, they don't have the kind of equipment that we have to remove snow and ice. Sometimes, I know when I was in Winston-Salem, we'd have an inch of snow, and it'd paralyze the city all day. When I was teaching in North Carolina, if we got snow flurries, they would call off school, and I would drive home 70 miles an hour. Here's the problem. When you're in an icy or snowy condition in the road, all of your normal instincts are wrong. When you start sliding off the road, your natural instinct is to try to steer yourself back onto the road as quickly as possible. That is precisely the wrong thing to do. What do you do when you're sliding off the road? You turn into the slide. And eventually the wheels will straighten up, and at least lots of times you can keep it on the road. The point is, you must be intentional about it. You must know what you need to do and do it. In order to overcome this instinct to do the wrong thing requires practice. And I remember our daughter, and most people would really benefit when they're beginning to drive to maybe go to a big parking lot somewhere that's filled with snow and practice doing this, and do it on a regular enough basis that it begins to become a new habit. Discipleship is sort of like that. It's a way of training the self to respond differently in life situations and especially around in our relationships with other people, because, you know, we're kind of geared to be selfish. We got a lot of automatic responses that get us in trouble and cause us to sort of slide off the road. I'm going to say more about this next week, but to sum it all up, it's mainly about learning how to love, isn't it? And sometimes we don't know how to do that very well. We have learned the wrong instincts. We sort of try to steer our way back onto the road instead of training ourselves into a new way of responding to difficult people and difficult situations. Discipleship, then, is designed to keep us on the road. It's really finally all about learning how to love. All the rest of the stuff falls under that category. That's really what it's about. You want to, if God is love, and we want to be conformed to the image of God, the image of Christ, that's what we're asking for God to do for us. So just like those people that don't know how to drive in ice and snow, we need a safe place to practice. That is what a good and healthy church or meeting can become. A place where, doesn't always work this way, and those of us who maybe had experiences where we got burned in church or where people weren't very loving, it's hard for us to believe this sometimes, but a healthy church actually is a safe place for us to learn how to love together, where we can practice getting back on the road when we slide off in our relationships with one another and in this larger world. Did you know that the early church used to have this process? I'm just now remembering this. It was called exomologesis, in which the people met in a small group and they simply confessed to one another where they've slid off the road, so to speak, where they're still learning, where God is at work, and they ask forgiveness. They try to make amends with the other people that they might have hurt. That's healthy church. A healthy meeting does that as well, where we can know that it's a safe place. I was so touched last week at what a safe place this was. The Spirit was certainly here working in us and among us last week. We had a lot to unlearn, don't we? We need to unlearn some bad ideas about God that we picked up along the way. And we need to unlearn some ways of relating to other people that have not led to good relationships. And we also have to learn a lot of ways that we look at the troubled world out there and find some new and different and more Christ-like ways of addressing it. We have a lot of new driving reflexes to develop. That's discipleship at its best. What does this look like in real life? Let's use a personal example. What is most likely to make you slide off the road? You can think of even like the seven deadly sins, if that helps. Which one's your favorite way of going bad? How do you break bad? Let's say it's envy. That's a common one. You see other people, they have something you wish you had. You don't like their attitude. They're smug, and they have everything that you think anybody could want, and so you begin to resent them. Just the sight of them creates a bad feeling in you. I don't know what that would be like, but think of a situation that might lead you to resent and loathe some specific person. How's this for a spiritual discipline? Sometime when you're quiet by yourself, ask God to help you. Then visualize that person having all the things you want to have for yourself. Pray for the well-being of that person. Pray that they'll be happy, content, that their life will be filled with love and healthy relationships with other people. And try to make that a discipline to do whenever that person either presents him or herself or comes into your mind. If we do this over a period of time, I guarantee you that your basic orientation to that person will begin to change. How can you envy and loathe somebody for whom you're praying on a regular basis for God's rich blessings? That goes against all the natural instincts, doesn't it? That's a decision to do something to train ourselves when we're off the spot, so to speak, so that next time we run into that person in the grocery store, we're on the spot and we've begun to make a shift. This takes time. This takes time. Discipleship is a lifelong process. Sometimes we think we've traveled a few miles, the next thing we know, we're off the road again. What do you do when you slide off the road in the winter? You get out your cell phone and call a tow truck, right? Well, let's think about God's grace, God's forgiveness as the tow truck we call. And along with that comes a decision to try to make things right with the person we've harmed, and also to receive God's forgiveness and get back on the road and start moving again. A lot of times we stay off the road far longer. God wants to forgive, wants to bring healing and reconciliation and help us get back on the road as soon as possible. A lot of us need to make that tow truck call every day. Sometimes more than once a day if we're having to spend time with somebody that's a problem person for us. As they say in the 12-step recovery programs, we seek progress, not perfection. Take a deep breath. Love yourself a little bit. Be patient with yourself. Anybody that's had a kid, I'm sure, can relate to this. When you load up the car, you head out on a long trip, and about an hour into the trip, this little voice in the back seat saying, "Are we there yet? How much longer till we get there?" We're not there yet. And we've probably all got that little voice crying out inside of us saying, "How much longer is it going to take? Am I going to be like this my whole life?" Well, you might be. Maybe your progress has to be measured in inches right now. That's okay, too. You're on the road. You're moving in the right direction. And God will work in you what God needs to do to bring you along. Maybe that's what Paul was thinking when he wrote these words. Reminding himself that being on the road and moving in the right direction is what matters. I'm not saying that I have all this together here.